Welcome to Bullships, where we use pop culture to initiate conversations, call out the myths portrayed in entertainment, and empower listeners with information to improve relationships. We're your hosts, Kelly and Stephanie. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 34, Happily Ever Hard Knocks. So this is our first Sports centered kind of pod episode.
I mean, you know my new love of sports over this past NBA season and like all the drama that occurred.
Yes.
And I figured we're close enough to the football season. Why not do a sports one?
Exactly.
And this is kind of your old world.
It so is that you're my familiar old world. With this. I know. I was going to say, you know, disclosure time, but prior to becoming a therapist, I worked in sports. It was more college kind of area. I did have experience, actually, with the Raiders. I was an intern for a couple months there when I was in college. So it's kind of fitting, I guess, that the Hard Knocks season is about the Raiders. And actually, this episode and specifically that we're going to talk about is when they played the Cardinals.
So crazy.
It was just like the stars are aligned for us to talk about this. But so excited. Like you said, your love for sports.
Yes.
You know, my love for sports. And the real stories behind it. And I feel like Hard Knocks does such a good job in doing that, at least for five or six episodes for the preseason.
I think that's great. I mean, that's the thing about sports that I think has been so appealing to me, mm-hmm. is that there is this personal component to it. And being somebody in the psychology field, knowing how important all of that is on how you play on the field.
Yep.
So I'm just like, I'm all in on sports of any kind. And because we're in August, we got to go with football.
Exactly. And so for those of you that don't know, Hard Knocks is an HBO show that follows a pro football team during the preseason games. And so there's about 5 episodes for the whole season. So
Low commitment.
Just 5 weeks of your life. It comes out weekly. And this is episode 3 that we're specifically going to be talking about. So right in the middle of it. So if you need and you don't really need a catch up on all of them to be able to follow this episode, but at least check out episode 3 so that you know a little bit about what we're talking about. So with that, let's dive into the topics that we pulled from this episode, I guess.
So the first thing that we pulled from the episode was when they started to kind of pick on one of the players named Hunter Renfrow.
Yeah.
And it got us thinking about how much insecurity plays a role in these players' lives.
Yeah.
Like, people that we think of as, you know, superbly physically fit and mentally strong and, you know, like fiercely resilient, mm-hmm. you know, these players that are on the field.
Yeah. And not to mention, like, getting paid a lot of money. So,
a lot
like,
of money.
Why
totally.
Would they have problems or insecurities or anything?
A lot of fame, a lot of notoriety. Usually good looking.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, let's be real here. They are some good looking men on that field. And yet we see the human side of them. Mm-hmm. I think it was at the there was two moments with Hunter Renfrow.
Yeah.
The first, and I don't know which one came first, you know?
I don't remember either.
It was one of the players was giving him a hard time about his hairline.
Yes. Yes.
And he's like, dude, how old are you?
Actually, their quarterback.
Oh, the quarterback. That's right. Yeah. So what, the leader of the team goes up to this guy, and he's little-ish.
Yeah.
I mean, for a football player, he's 5'10". I think, according to Wikipedia, he's gained up to 180 pounds. Still pretty little for a football player.
Great hands.
Yeah.
Great catcher. Anyways.
Anyway, so the quarterback comes up to him. He's like, bro, how old are you? You look like you're, like, old with that hairline. He's like, I'm, like, 23, and it's just, like, runs in my family.
Yeah.
Like, poor
and
dude,
my granddad
right?
has his hairline, and it just runs, No, but you're right. Like, you know, super young, like, having the leader just be like, like, you know. And
towering over him, physically demanding, and he's like, bro, it's just, like, who I am.
Yeah.
And he handled it. He handled it pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then the coach puts his picture with no shirt on up in front of the whole team.
Yes.
And everybody starts laughing. Oh, my God. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
I would die if that was me.
Yeah, but you're right. These two moments that, you can, are probably th I mean, are probably things people have pointed out to him before. And granted, like, I know that sometimes the like poking fun and kind of culture, happens within sports and things like that. But also the fact that like it exists, like I'm sure, or maybe it's something that he's over it. We don't really know. We haven't talked to him, but
He seems okay.
he seems okay. But one of those things of like that's probably something that he has been insecure about or is insecure about, or it's something that he knows, it's something that he has to deal with in this kind of arena.
Yeah, and yet still plays like a badass, And that's kind of what we wanted to talk about is that you can there it's cool to see like the realness of their insecurities and that they have them, but yet it doesn't stop them on the field. They're able to still go out there, and even though they might look a little bit different, play their asses off and be successful. So that's just that was pretty cool about his little story.
And I know, he was one that talked about his insecurity. Luke Wilson was also another one, where they were talking about his skinny calves. And even just in general, they had the comedian who had come in to impersonate Gruden. And in the beginning, and kind of that, like when you're impersonating someone, you're kind of
The
like,
worst. Like,
you're
do I
kind of
really
like
sound like that?
pulling
Do I really
all
look
the
like that?
insecurities and putting them on dry, So this whole idea of, even though, from the outside looking in, it can look like, these people have everything. They must not struggle at all. They were very open to talk or, to talk about or point out the things that maybe do get picked on or that there are these insecurities that exist and how they think about it and if any way affects their ability to play. And like you said, for perhaps Renfro and Wilson, like doesn't really affect. But then we go into the other side of things, and to kind of go into the second topic here of Waller in this episode. He was very vulnerable and opened up about his past history of substance abuse and how he has been clean for 2 years. And so, I think that's the other route insecurities can go into if not properly kind of taken care of or faced.
It's almost like so we with Renfro and Wilson, we were kind of talking about some physical insecurities and kind of what that means and how that plays a role in probably their psychologies to some extent. They didn't go into it, but I'm assuming it was there at one point. Maybe they worked through it. Over to Waller, who has this, it's more of an emotional insecurity, this idea of am I good enough? How do I advocate for myself if I'm feeling burnt out? What if I don't get to play? Whatever some of his emotional insecurities are, and which led him down the substance abuse path.
Exactly. And I think it's burnout, I believe this year has gone by so fast. Burnout finally became a, diagnosis, I guess. Well, like a, like, it became a thing.
It
Like it
became a
became
thing,
something that, that this is real, that burnout is real. And what can be hard is when you are on a sports team, you are, or at least in football, you're surrounded by all these dudes that are pretty much doing the same thing you're doing, yet, for whatever reason, they're still really much putting in the effort, or, they don't seem tired. And so you almost try to match that, as an athlete of like, okay, if they're not tired, then like, why do I feel this way? When again, everyone is so different, you can have different thresholds for being burnt out, but especially in a culture where playing through pain and playing through anything going on, and it just matters, what happens on the field, sometimes that can really affect your mental health, and then like you said, of what the steps then you take of being able to take care of yourself if if you have all these other pressures also telling you like don't speak up or don't say anything, where you can really, affect your ability to take care of yourself if you're not listening to yourself.
Yeah, well, and I think that that's exactly what happened, is that there's some sort of inner turmoil that Waller was dealing with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after being sober for 2 years and having some self-reflection and trying to figure that out, he knew that the burnout that he was feeling led him to self-sabotaging behaviors. Mm-hmm. And so he would, anything he could kind of get his hands on to just numb or disengage, or mm-hmm. how can I mess myself up so bad that they'll have to get rid of me, because mm-hmm. I'm too afraid, or I'm not sure how to speak up for myself, so let me just sabotage myself so mm-hmm. they have to do it for me. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of avoiding mm-hmm. that, you're avoiding that conversation maybe you have to have with the organization, and that can be really scary when mm-hmm. you know, lots of money is on the line. Absolutely. Or you know, prestige, whatever.
Yeah.
Some other reasons that people might self-sabotage is because they're afraid of being rejected. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna do it first. I'm gonna pull myself out of the game first.
Yeah.
Before you reject me, because the feeling of rejection is so scary to me. Mm-hmm. I'll do it myself.
Yeah.
let me handle it
yeah.
myself. Another reason that people might self-sabotage is because of faulty thinking. I mean, how common is this with so much of our population? Part of humanity is sometimes we're harder on ourselves. I'm not good enough. Like you were kind of mentioning, how come that guy's able to practice for 8 hours a day and I'm not? What's wrong with me? I must not be strong enough mentally, mm-hmm. physically, whatever. And so kind of having those negative beliefs about yourself. Okay, let me numb that. Let me kind of resolve that myself. And so I think a lot of people probably can relate, whether they want to admit it or not, to what Waller's story was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy too how somebody, and I don't know why it's somebody like him, there was 3 years of suspensions with this guy because mm-hmm. of failing substance or substance abuse testing.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he still keeps coming back. People still want him. Mm-hmm. So there's something about him and his story mm-hmm. that the NFL maybe just doesn't want to give up on quite yet.
Yeah.
Probably doesn't hurt that he's 6'6 and 250
yeah.
pounds, but other than that.
And it's good. And I mean, but it also, I think, brought him to a place of, like what you were saying,
yeah.
of that self-reflection.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I wonder if it just got to a point where it's just like, this, okay, like this is not going to happen. Like it's not going to be
yeah,
as easy
exactly.
as I thought it was going
mm-hmm.
to be. And so I need to do something different, or who knows if there was a, you know, rock bottom moment for him or,
yeah, right.
or whatever
mm-hmm.
it was. But I really, really just loved seeing the vulnerability
mm-hmm.
of that and being mm-hmm. able to say, I was burnt out. I was self-sabotaging. I was, you know, doing all of these things to be able to, you know, get whatever,
relief,
like opiate.
Or whatever, yeah,
yeah, like, and he talked about, you know, the drugs he was using. They even showed a clip of a past Hard Knocks that he was maybe on, where the coach was just saying, like, yo, are you okay? What's going, like,
oh.
are you good? Like, are you good? Like, he kept checking on him, and that's when he was talking kind of, like, about everything. It was, like, a short little,
oh,
like,
damn it, I missed it. I need to go look
clip
for that.
In the middle. But, yeah, but there was, you know, like, he was so vulnerable in sharing his story, but then also
yeah.
the ability to, like, you can also do things to come out on the other side.
Oh, yeah, and, I mean, that's, like, the best part.
Yeah, and, I mean, and luckily for him, he was still able to do it so that he is able to come back
right.
and play, and then perhaps be able to choose,
mm-hmm.
you know, when he's ready to retire or not, on his own terms versus,
right.
you know, just doing it because of, like you were saying, either like the, you know, faulty thinking or the fear of rejection or just avoiding the bigger issues.
Yeah. I know it'll be cool to watch. I mean, again, my whole buy-in for the sports, other than, you know, the cool competitive side of it, I love these personal stories. So
yeah.
I think it'll be really cool to watch and hopefully see him remain intact with his sobriety, being able to kind of do his self-reflection, should he have a bad game or an injury or whatever, how does he then kind of handle those situations mm-hmm. in a healthy way?
Yeah.
I mean, 2 years of sobriety, hopefully with some good support,
mm-hmm.
therapy, understanding of himself, he should have the toolbox to be able to have a successful season.
Absolutely. So, yeah, and then that's what happens. You watch the show, and then you fall in love with players,
oh,
and you're
I'm
just
in.
Like, I just am rooting for you in life.
Me too.
And that is hard coming from a Niners fan. So I'm a Niners fan, and the Raiders are like arch rivals. And so the fact that I'm like,
I guess we share that in common then, because I think they're rivals with the Cardinals as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody likes the Raiders.
that's kind of their thing. No one, yeah. Except for today, while you're listening to this podcast. Yeah. But yeah, so, you know, it's hard to say or you know, but again, it's the real life stories that really draw us in. And speaking about another life story in this episode, the other cool thing I do like about Hard Knocks is that a lot of the stuff that happens on the show are things that are happening in real life. Yeah. So, for example, the whole Antonio Brown, or AB, that's mm-hmm. what I call him. like, his whole, like, wanting, like, the helmet issue mm-hmm. for him of, you know, he's played with the same helmet for 10 years, and now it's past the point that it passes inspection. So this is no longer a usable, like, healthy helmet for him, mm-hmm. yet he still wants to use it and is not backing down from that. Yeah. So that was something that was playing in, like, real life news, but then also was playing out, and we were seeing a little bit of the behind the scenes mm-hmm. on Hard Knocks. And then also his feet injuries where, you know, he got burned in the, like...
I feel like we need a whole podcast on AB. Just because, I mean, with the player-coach dynamic, but then the cryotherapy and how that's playing a role in professional sports these days. Oh, my God. Yeah. But we picked out
maybe in the future.
Maybe in the future. That guy really has a lot of content.
So then he has that, and, you know, but what we do see... So that's cool, where you can see it in real life, kind of have your own perspective, but then you see the behind the scenes. And then, you know, obviously, because I watch a lot of reality TV, I'm like, how much of this is, like, created, you know, kind of staged or created so that we feel like it's all nice? But it seems super genuine, but...
So will you tell us about kind of the backstory behind the organization that he was with before and
so
the helmet issue?
So, in what I was reading, when I was kind of looking into different things, where he was before, when he would kind of have any drama surrounding him, it seemed like him and the team were, like, at odds, versus... Here, or at least what they show us on Hard Knocks, is that, you know, he's really fighting for this helmet thing. You know, his feet issue, he just has to get better. But this helmet situation, like, he's really fighting for it, and he's not backing down. And where I think, you know, again, outside looking in, maybe fan looking in, it's like, yo, just wear the new helmet. Right. Like, what's going on? But there's also so much that goes around that. Like, you know, a lot of players are superstitious, mm-hmm. you know. I think he had actually said something about, like, how he could see, mm-hmm. you know, so vision-wise, and, you know, doesn't want that to mess up his game. He's had such great years, so why, you know, and what if that changes? So there's so many things around it. And here in Hard Knocks, they show us, like, how pretty much supportive coach and owner are, at least in, like, the beginning of all of this, you know, of to, like, we're gonna, you know, with whatever he wants, we're supporting him, you know, it seems to be very important to him, we're gonna support. I think it wasn't until towards the end where finally the owner's like, you gotta get in or out, when he's talking to the media. But that's after they had gone through everything to make sure that he got, like, every opportunity to get this helmet. But then it was finally like, no, that helmet can't work anymore. And then finally the owner was like, you're either in or out, you know? But they were able to, like, stick by him the whole time. Mm-hmm. There wasn't this, like, oh, you're being such a distraction for,
like,
my
us
team.
Versus them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was just very much,
I think with the media coverage too, he was, even though he said either you're in or you're out, he still did it with a lot of, like, respect for the decision that he was made, mm-hmm. and almost, like, validated the concern that AB was having over this helmet issue. And we don't know exactly, like, what the concern is, other than the visibility, and maybe mm-hmm. there is some superstitions mm-hmm. involved. But he is it's here is somebody who is obviously has a lot of conviction towards what he is trying to bring in as a player, but then also a organization that supports him through it rather than kind of maybe belittling him or making him feel like what were you said something like he was like a difficult player or something like that. Here's an organization that's trying to navigate and help support him through that journey. And I thought that was really cool and insightful for something for all of us to kind of consider, you know, in the workplace or even within our own like family structure, is how do you kind of find that balance between feeling validated and understood, but also having like some firm beliefs too on keeping that keeping it real, you
Yeah,
know?
absolutely. I know you mentioned, you know, work and family, but also friends,
And
you
friends too,
know,
sure.
and this idea of we're all different people. We all have different values. We have things that are important to us, and it can be quick to judge somebody and say, "Why are you stressing about the helmet so much? Like, it's just a helmet. Like, chillax and change it and like do it, you know, or whatever it is." But I mean, for somebody to, you know, put up a fight and to really want to figure it out, like it must be very important to them. And so like other people in our lives, they're going to show us when things are very important to them, whether it's, hey, I'm going to voice worries, or whether it's going to voice, you know, like, no, this is actually important to me. And the responsibility of us being somebody that like loves them to try to understand it as well, instead of just going to our quick judgment and thinking like, that's dumb. You may not agree. We're not saying you're gonna agree with
Yeah,
anyone all
totally.
the time, you know. You know, I'm sure Gruta wasn't there like, oh yeah, I totally get the helmet piece, you
Right,
know.
right.
But I do feel like, you know, even at least just trying to understand is going to get you way more information than just you putting your
100%.
judgment out there on them.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, if you're trying to get this guy who to be a star on your team, obviously he is extremely talented and probably could do a lot for their wins. If you go and you dismiss this thing that he is so clearly passionate about, think about the psychological implications of that. You're going to have somebody going on the field who's more anxious than normal, who isn't going to be thinking, focused on the game because they're too worried about the fact that they can't see. Like, that is a disaster waiting to happen. So I think the coach is doing a really smart move, or, you know, at least he was, maybe he still is, I don't know. Really smart move from a sports psychology standpoint to make sure that his player feels good about getting on the field. So I thought that was pretty cool. And then he said, what was the quote that he said? There's nothing wrong with supporting your players on the things that they believe in. Like, that's,
Yeah, I
you go, coach. Like,
You
I mean,
go, Gruden. No, well, and I think, you know, the expectation sometimes of like what it means to be a coach, or, you know, I think it can also be, you know, what it means to be a parent, what it means to be a teacher, where sometimes some people have the thought that like you have to be a hard ass. You have to be like, it's my way or
We
no
know we're the boss,
way. Exactly. And then, you know, with that quote, he's basically saying like, no, you could support them and it could still be fine, you know? And that's awesome. Because
It
it's true.
is,
I mean, like you said, all everything that comes along with that, like not only, okay, does that show that, okay, yes, he's gonna, you know, AB is gonna feel comfortable on the field, but then think about the bigger message of, okay, am I playing for an organization that actually believes in me, that actually cares about me, and you
Think
know,
about what
we
that's got to feel like, you know?
exactly. Well, and I'm, you know, hopefully not a lot of people have had this experience, but if they have, you know, of working somewhere where they don't feel valued or they don't feel like how much that takes a toll on everything, and so how important it is for that, you know, for that to be a factor in I mean, your personal relationships, but also hopefully in where you work.
Yeah, absolutely. So with some of these things that we want you guys to kind of think about as maybe before we go to takeaways, we can talk about what some of the bullshit is that we identified in this episode, which is that just because, or no, that fame and money and prestige and athleticism and popularity doesn't necessarily mean that everything is okay all the time. Mm-hmm. So the bullshit is, like, just because you have these things, you're fine. Mm-hmm. Oh, you have the money. Oh, you have the fame. Mm-hmm. Oh, you have mm-hmm. the good looks. Oh, mm-hmm. you have the power. Like, you're fine. Yeah,
there's no reason why you should complain.
There's no reason why you should complain.
There's no reason why you should be tired. Right. There's no reason why this, like, that because you have all of those things, you're automatically shielded from human issues.
Right.
Which is such bullshit.
Such bullshit.
Yeah. Yes. And you see it a lot on Twitter. I don't know if you guys frequent the conversations on Twitter, but, you know, I guess, you know, to go off on a little tangent, but with Andrew Luck retiring, I've been seeing that a lot of, you know, how can you say you're tired when, you know, my dad works in this like really hard job and he did it for like 50 years, you know? And then I've also seen the other side that's like, a lot of you guys would like to retire as young as he's retiring.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's okay. But you know, this like comparison and that like, you know, because of all of those things that you had just mentioned, like he's not able to claim that he's tired, which is not true at all. But anyways, tidbit.
Just what a great point. What a great point. I think a lot of I would imagine a lot of celebrities probably feel this way. Anybody who seemingly seems to have it all, that they're not somehow allowed to still have the human experience of vulnerability, burnout, being tired, insecurities, all the stuff we're kind of mentioning today. So, you know, keep that in mind when you watch these players, and you know, they're human too. They're just, you know, they got struck with a different talent than, you know, maybe some of us, we have other ones.
trying to
spit that out.
And neither of them is better. Neither of them protect us from anything, you know. And the cool thing about it, and overall, I do think that sports does teach us a lot, can teach us a lot about life, you know, about like resiliency and how do you handle disappointment and, you know, but you can also be in that and not learn those skills so well. But these are all things that you can gain, that you can still grow on.
Yep.
The biggest thing is the awareness, which kind of leads us into the takeaway that we wanted to talk
about. So the takeaway we want you guys to think about is, what insecurity have you battled throughout your life that you've had to overcome that was able to kind of catapult you into this place that maybe you wanted to go? Maybe you were afraid of public speaking, but then you kind of got, because you have a weird voice or something, and you do it anyways, and you realize the words that you have to say are so powerful and people love listening to you. So we just kind of want you guys to think about those times where you've had to overcome something and do it anyways, and how that made you feel.
Yeah, or even, you know, if there are some, you know, insecurities that are there and maybe, you know, haven't overcome, you know, perhaps something that's getting you there, or thinking about, you know, how could you in the future? You know, I'm a big believer in everyone goes on their own timing. So, you know, there may be something that you're super aware about that you do want to change, but the timing's not right now to change it because there's other fears holding you back or other things you need to process. So, but being aware of it and seeing if in any way there, you know, it, you know, any of these insecurities or something are affecting other areas of your life or are holding you back from the life that you want to create for yourself. And as always, there's that like introspective part, but there's also therapy.
Yeah.
So never be scared of that.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, no, I think that's a really good one. Once we can kind of overcome these things that maybe we've battled with for a long time, you never know what you're able to accomplish, the dreams that you're able to accomplish because you got over that thing. You know, like Renfro, he didn't care.
Yeah.
He doesn't care that he's a little guy with a bad hairline. He still goes out there and he kills it. And you saw him, right? You saw him at the championship game last year, and he just was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. Sports
is
so fun.
Oh, I know.
Sports is so fun. And so it's great to be able to, at least on this podcast episode, be able to mix both worlds.
Yeah,
and
it totally is.
You know, see the human side of it, because it exists in there. Although sometimes we don't want to see it and just want to watch the game and all of that. You know, they're, like you were saying, they're all real people. They all have their stuff. Mm-hmm. They have, you know, great stories, sometimes heartbreaking stories, but, you know, a lot of strengths and resiliency to get them where they're at, or you know, or if not, that's also the reality of life too. So
love it.
I know. So that's it for our episode. We will catch you guys next week.
Yep, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode of Bullships, please head over to your podcast player to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Disclaimer: the information and resources contained in this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to assess, diagnose, or treat any medical and/or mental health condition. The use of this podcast does not imply nor establish any type of therapist-client relationship. Furthermore, the information obtained from this podcast should not be considered a substitute for a thorough medical and/or mental health evaluation by an appropriately credentialed and licensed professional.